Sorry if that was annoying, everyone. Welcome to episode 77 of My 123 Cents, the podcast. As you have figured out by my bellowing and, of course, the title of this week's show, Hacksaw Jim Duggan is the guest. WWE Hall of Famer is going to be in Southern Illinois on Saturday night, May 14th. He's going to be wrestling at Pinckneyville Community Consolidated School District 204. They are holding a fundraiser event. If you are in the Southern Illinois area, I would highly recommend coming in and checking that out. Hacksaw will be teaming up with the school's superintendent in a tag team match to raise some money for some repairs that need to be made at that school. So if you have the opportunity and are in the region, I would highly recommend getting out and supporting this good cause and meeting a WWE Hall of Famer. I've actually met Hacksaw one other time back in 2011, right after he got inducted in the Hall of Fame, and that interview is up on the YouTube channel. So this show, this particular interview, was a quick one over the phone, and you know, we talk about some different things, including obviously the upcoming show, but also his time in the wrestling world, and he is still wrestling from time to time, and also talked about a bit about Rowdy Roddy Piper, someone that he had connected with in Legends House on WWE Network, and we talk about their relationship and their friendship, and it's a good interview. I really enjoyed talking to Hacksaw. I wish we would have had more time, but obviously he's a busy guy. I know he was traveling to Canada before the interview was conducted, so I appreciate him taking the time to do an interview, and going to be working on some more interviews here in the coming weeks, hoping to get another WWE Hall of Famer. I don't want to say too much about that at this point until I get something more in stone, but that is in the works as we speak. And if you have a minute, speaking of WWE Hall of Fame and YouTube, there's a new video up on the YouTube channel, My 123 Cents YouTube channel, that is, about Donald Trump and the three Hall of Famers that I would put with him if he were to become president of the United States. It's more of a satirical thing. I'm not picking a political party or a political side. It's nothing about that. It's just a little bit of fun. Because Donald Trump, of course, is in the WWE Hall of Fame. Another project that I'm working on YouTube is called The Craft Beerkins, and it's me and three of my friends, Tom Harness, Todd Ellis, and Todd Bryant, and we basically drink a lot of beer and have some fun, and we record it and talk to people in the craft beer industry and just fans of craft beer. I am becoming a bigger fan of craft beer. Don't know a whole lot about it. That's part of the reason why I wanted to do this project and also to use it as a platform to kind of cross over with my 123 cents. And of course, my friends each have their own businesses and brands that they are trying to get out there as well. So it's a multi-purpose project, and hopefully you can tune in and watch a few of those shows. I did do one at the Mania crawl for the Connor, the Cure for Connor, WrestleMania weekend, and that was a lot of fun. I met a wrestling fan, and we chatted a little bit about wrestling, but also about the craft beer that he was drinking and what he prefers. And my ultimate goal with this is to secure an interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin, who of course has his IPA out there on the market right now. So that is long-term goal. If anyone out there knows Stone Cold or knows how I can get a hold of him to get him on Craft Beerkins to talk about craft beer, we're not going to bug him about wrestling, but I would love that opportunity to chat with Stone Cold. Friday was a big day in WWE as far as some are calling it release day, some of it Black Friday. Seven talent released from WWE from their contracts. Wade Barrett and Damian Sandow, two of the biggest names, I guess, on the list. And Barrett, I know that he had been chatting with him about him leaving on his own accord in June anyway. So that one didn't come as a surprise, as did Damian Sandow. I'm really, sad's not the right word, but disappointed, I guess, that they have parted ways with Sandow. He was so talented. He got over organically. He reinvented himself, which, you know, we see so many times happen with some of these guys, and they still, for whatever reason, they catch the fans' attention, but not necessarily the attention of the front office. And I guess ultimately that's what matters. Damian Sandow, though, I would not worry for Damian Sandow. Wherever he goes, he is going to be golden. And I really, wish him nothing but the best of luck. I really enjoyed all of the variations, I guess, of the Damian Sandow character. But unfortunately, he has been released. Zeb Coulter was another one that got let go that I'm disappointed to see, because I like him a lot in that managerial role. He's a great talker, for one, and of course has a wealth of experience and knowledge about the world of professional wrestling, of course, from his time as Dirty Dutch Mantel way back when, to the evolution of him and getting into this Zeb Coulter character. And WWE, quite frankly, I think is lacking in the managerial department anyway. So letting go of a manager, I wasn't a big fan of that. Carmen was also let go. Santino, which I thought he was already finished. I knew he had retired. I didn't know he was still under contract. He has been officially let go. And then El Chirito and Hornswoggle, which no big surprises there. No pun intended either on that. But El Chirito, of course, was with Los Matadors, who are undergoing a change. They've lost the masks and obviously not the need to have a bull around anymore. So I guess it makes sense that these guys were also released. But all seven, wish nothing but the best of luck to. Hope that whatever they decide to do, whether it's inside the squared circle or out, that they have nothing but success in what they are doing out there. So I think I've summed up most of or all of what's going on in the world of professional wrestling. Be sure to tune in to my123cents.com throughout the week. And then also every Thursday, we put up a new video on the YouTube channel called Three Count. I find a topic to kind of expand off of this podcast with, so be sure to check that out as well.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! And I am on the phone right now with WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, who will be appearing in Pinckneyville, Illinois, very soon here, actually going to be taking part in a tag team match with a local teacher. Hacksaw, how you doing?
Well, very good, but brother, you know the first thing Hacksaw's got to do is give him kind of fires me up nowadays, gets me going. But yeah, looking forward to coming to town and being in some tag team action.
I love it. I love that you are still as energetic as you were back in the early days of your career and the longevity that you've had. And you're going to be stepping in the ring and tag team competition, as we mentioned. How much wrestling do you still do these days?
Well, not too much. I realize the window's closing on my wrestling career quite quickly, but I still enjoy going to the ring. And actually, I do a little work with the WWE down at the Performance Center in Orlando, where I kind of teach the kid it's more than taking bumps. You know, I have very little physical attributes at this stage of the game, but I can still have the crowd up on their feet chanting and having a good time. So there's more to wrestling than just taking bumps, as they say.
Yeah, what kind of advice do you offer to young athletes? Because I would imagine that when you do these shows, you've been to Southern Illinois several times in the last couple of years that I can recall. What advice do you give to the young men and women who are wanting to get into the wrestling business?
Yeah, I tell all the young guys and girls that want to become pro wrestlers, I tell you, get golf clubs. That's where the money's at, and a lot easier on the body, you know. But, one thing to keep in perspective for the people who want to become wrestlers is, you know, it's a numbers game like any profession. And there's, 1,500 NFL football players. There's 800 NBA basketball players. There's 100 WWE wrestlers. It's television. It's more competitive than sports. Now, a lot of folks don't see the business in those kind of terms.
That's a very interesting point of view. And also, you know, you guys, as wrestlers, there's no off season. You're on 52 weeks a year, you know, 300 days a year sometimes. I know back in the territory days, it was like that a lot.
Yeah, it sure was, you know, and also I do a lot of charity events for the NFL, Major League Baseball guys, and I always ask those guys, I'm like, world champions, you know, where in the world have you been?
Yeah.
You know, since the 30-plus years I wrestled in every state in the union, every province in Canada, in 30 different countries. I mean, it's hard even to think of 30 countries, but the worldwide appeal of wrestling is undeniable, you know. Nobody knows Peyton Manning over in Barcelona, but they'll go, oh!
This is very true. You know, I mentioned your name even in our newsroom at the TV station, and people who aren't even wrestling fans will bellow out a ho. So you've definitely had an impact on pop culture. Did you think 30-plus years ago when you got into the business that you would still be doing it and become the iconic figure in the world of professional wrestling that you became?
Well, I don't think it's just me. I think it's our generation of guys, you know, that the WWF guys, Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Savage, Jake the Snake Roberts, Ted DiBiase. People just remember that generation. That was kind of the golden age of pro wrestling. And, I mean, it's amazing. I can be traveling with some of the new guys on TV, and people are like, I saw Duggan. Are there any other wrestlers here? I'm like, yeah, there's a couple of them right here. People tend to remember that generation, and I'm glad to be part of it. Now, to realize I'd be doing it this long after I started, you know, like I said, I've cut down on my wrestling quite a bit. I do a lot of Comic-Con conventions. Last week I was at a Comic-Con. I'm getting ready to do the New York City Comic-Con in October. But I also do stand-up shows, kind of like Mick Foley started.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Can I ask you, and I hope you don't mind this, you talked about some of the legends that you were with back in the day in the 80s and 90s of WWE. Legends House, I think wrestling fans, a new generation of fans, got to know more about Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and someone that you really connected with on that show was Rowdy Roddy Piper, who sadly passed away last year. What was it about Hot Rod that, because if I remember correctly from the show, you two, although you were in the WWE at the same time, you didn't seem to bond like you did on this show.
Right, yeah, we kind of hung with different groups, you know, when we were both wrestling. And, of course, that Legend House, opened me up to a whole new generation of fans, like you said. People would come up and say, I didn't really like you as a wrestler, but I really enjoyed you on Legend House. And, you know, when I was on my way out there, we did it out in Palm Springs at Harpo Marx's mansion. And it was gorgeous when I'm on the way out there. They said, well, you have to have a roommate. I'm like, well, I haven't had a roommate since college. You know, I'm thinking, who's going to be? Jimmy Hart, I get along with, you know, Hillbilly. And they're like, your roommate went Piper. Like you said, I didn't know Piper very well. So for the first couple of days, we just kind of eyeballed each other. You know, like, yeah, how you doing, brother? I'm doing good. How about you? But then, I tell you, we started to bond, and the fans called it the bromance, and it really did. We became best friends in those 5 weeks. Our families became friends. Our daughters, our wives are friends to this day. Of course, we were heartbroken along with everybody else with this sudden passing.
Yeah, and, you know, when you agreed to do Legends House, did you think, because, you know, I grew up in the late 70s, 80s era of wrestling. So, you know, that the guys that were all on that show, I mean, I loved Legends House, and I'd love to see WWE do it again. Did you think that it would resonate with fans the way it did? Because I think a lot of people really popped for that piece of nostalgia.
Yeah, like I said earlier, that generation, I mean, people all over the world just say that, probably 90% of folks, if not 95, say, I enjoy the older stuff. I said, we like to call it classics. The older stuff more than the new programming. I mean, now with the WWE Network, of course, all the territory libraries have been opened up, and So it was great for my generation of guys and folks to see our early work.
And you were at, I remember you were a part of WrestleMania 3. You came out, that was kind of the first time WWE fans saw you in a WWE ring with the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff and the Killer Bees. That was obviously 93,000 fans. Now, these days, you're doing these smaller shows. Talk a little bit about the intimacy of those. They're not territories, I guess, so much anymore, but it's kind of a throwback to those old days, I would imagine.
Yeah, it really is. You know, when I was down in Dallas for WrestleMania, and they did break our record this year with 102, almost 102,000 people. Amazing, for people all over the world. It was a great week to be down there for the Hall of Fame, of course, fan access and everything. But the smaller shows are, I tell you, they're great. They're family-friendly. No obscene gestures, no profanity. It's a fun night out for the fans. I tell you, as a wrestler, as an old school wrestler, to come see those young guys who are busting their butt, doing everything they can to entertain those fans, and it was just the outside chance of getting a break, you know, because, like I said, you got a better chance of playing in the NBA than you do making it in wrestling. But I tell kids to chase your dream, because who would have ever thought Daniel Bryan would become the star that he became? You know, to look at the guy, like, you know, no way, he'll do okay. But the kid had the drive, the desire, the work ethic, and he made himself a star. So always chase your dreams, or always make sure you have something to fall back on.
Yeah, that's some great advice. Hacksaw, I know that you're a busy guy, and I don't want to tie up much more of your time. Is there anything else you want fans to know about Hacksaw Jim Duggan these days?
Well, just like I said, the hacksawshows.com is the website for the stand-up shows in there. You know, a positive look at wrestling. I've been doing it for 36 years now, and you know, everybody hears all the horror stories about my very good friend Jake Roberts, who turned his life around, or Scott Hall. For me, it's been a great business. I've been with my wife for 32 years. I've never had to go to rehab for booze or drugs, though I did a bunch of both. No felony arrests, but a few misdemeanors, including the best one known in history. But, overall, it's been a great business for me. I put two daughters through college. It's been a good business. Everybody hears the horror stories, but guys like myself, Tito Santana, Roddy Piper, God bless them. A lot of guys are successful in our business. You just don't hear about it.
Yeah, I am actually working on another project, and when I knew that I might be talking to you, I pulled out my Hacksaw Jim Duggan LJN figure from 1980 something that I bought. So it's very cool, and I would imagine having your likeness in action figure form is a pretty neat experience too.
Well, now those LJN in the boxes, they're like, you know, $800 to $1,000 for the whole series. But even but of course that's always great. People say, "Hacksaw, I got your doll." I said, "They're not dolls, they're action figures."
That's right. Well, Hacksaw, I appreciate your time. Can we get one last ho before we say goodbye?
Only if you do one with me, brother. Let's do it together.
All righty.
Ho!
Thanks a lot. I really do.
You're rolling, man.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.